Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation today comes from Luke's record of the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter, where Peter proclaims, "It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are now living in the last days. The end of the world is drawing near. I don't say this because of recent events that we've heard about in the news, but I say this because that's what Peter tells us in today's text. Jews and devout men from every nation have gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the day of Pentecost. Now, oftentimes we consider the day of Pentecost as a New Testament festival, but Pentecost is the Greek name for an Old Testament festival called the Feast of Weeks, one of the great three pilgrimage festivals commanded by the Lord some 1,400 years earlier. Now, it's called a pilgrimage festival because all devout Jews were to pilgrimage, go to Jerusalem to offer their sacrifices. The first festival was Passover, occurring in the early spring, commemorating our Lord God leading his children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt while destroying the firstborn of all who were not protected by the blood of the sacrificial lamb. The second festival was Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. It was held on the day after 7 weeks had passed. 49 days plus one, we get 50. And during those weeks between Pentecost and Passover, it was a time for the barley harvest. And then at Pentecost, God's people would bring the first fruits of their harvest to the Lord as an offering, remembering him bringing them into the promised land, the land of plenty flowing with milk and honey. The third festival occurred in the fall. It was called the Feast of the Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, remembering how our Lord provided for the Israelites on their journey throughout the wilderness into the promised land. Now, these festivals were there so that God's people could look back in history and see God's providence and his provision, his protection, delivering his people through their trials and tribulations. And knowing how he performed in past, they had confidence of how he would be with them going forward in the future. But the festivals pointed to more than just that. Even way back in the Old Testament, the festivals pointed forward to Christ Jesus. The word tabernacle literally means dwelling place or tent. While leading his people through the wilderness for 40 years, the Lord tabernacled, or he dwelt among his people inside the tent of the tabernacle. And later, he dwelt in the temple. In both of these places, that's where the sacrificial blood of the lamb was sprinkled on the altar to atone for the people's sins. And this all pointed forward to the incarnate Jesus, the Word who became flesh and tabernacled or dwelt among his people. Now, it's no coincidence that the Word become flesh, who dwelt with his people on earth, was crucified on Passover, for he is the spotless Lamb of God who sacrificed himself upon the altar of the cross to take away the sins of the whole world. And it's also no coincidence that the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost, for Christ had died, risen from the grave, and ascended into heaven. And it was now time for all God's apostles to go out into the fields and sow and water the seed of his holy word, allowing the Holy Spirit to give the growth. It is time to bring in the first fruits, not of grain, but first fruits of people, believers, The day of Pentecost, Christ Church begins to gather the harvest of the souls into the kingdom of God. Just as Jesus had once previously told his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The Pentecost story is one of the very familiar stories, and we enjoy listening to it. We like to focus on the sights and the sounds that happened in that room that day. But if we focus on the sights and the sounds, we miss the reality of that day is the same reality of today. You see, the great blessings of Pentecost come through God's saving word. As the disciples gathered there, God manifested his miraculous power and authority over all creation. Without warning, the sound of a mighty rushing wind filled the entire house. There was no wind, just the roaring sound. And then second, tongues as if they were flames of fire rested on the disciples' heads. And thirdly, each disciple spoke in a language that was unknown to them. They were foreign languages, but these disciples had never learned those languages. And by the power of God, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. We can't imagine what it would have been like to be sitting inside that room that day, or even out in the common area where the rest of the Jews were, and they heard and came running. The great multitude of God-fearing Jews and converts were in Jerusalem for the feast, and they were all confounded, wondering what this all meant, but the disciples were not confounded. Unbelievers mocked the disciples, said they're drunk, but St. Peter sets them straight, explaining that they are not drunk, but this is prophecy fulfilled. He says that these are the end times, and God had promised to pour out his Holy Spirit upon all who hear the good news of Jesus and come to life-saving faith. This promise isn't limited to just male or female, or Jewish or Gentile, or red, yellow, black, or white. It is a promise to all mankind that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord in faith shall be saved. So you and I must not be distracted by the sights and the sounds. Yet we still wonder, how was there the sound of a rushing wind, yet no wind? How did these flames rest on their heads, not burn their heads and hair? And most especially, why don't people speak in foreign tongues proclaiming God's name in our presence anymore today? But these are not our only distractions in our context. You must not be distracted by the rushing wind of preachers attempting to soothe your itching ears, telling you not the words of God that you need to hear, but those things that your ears desire to hear. They preach that if you merely do X, Y, and Z, God will protect you from all sorrow and suffering and grant you material wealth. One of their catch lines is, "Name it and claim it, and God will deliver." You must not be distracted by those who claim that God's word is merely just a metaphor. None of this stuff really happened, but Jesus is speaking in metaphors. And how does this make sense in your situation, in your life? No, you must not also be distracted by those who say that you must speak in unknown tongues, because if you do not, well, that just means you don't have the Spirit and you're not saved. All of these are distractions from the devil. They are the lies of the devil to divert your attention away from Jesus' word and his promises, to divert you away to myths and false truths and works righteousness. So the Christian must focus their attention with the help of the Holy Spirit. Focus our attention on the inerrant and inspired Word of God. Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. The Holy Spirit moves whenever and wherever He wills. Our text begins with an interesting phrase. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, other Bible scholars will translate that phrase as when the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled. See, the Old Testament feast of the Pentecost was to commemorate our Lord's bringing His people into the promised land, a land flowing of milk and honey. It was a harvest festival where the people would bring the first fruits of the harvest. And on this Pentecost, 50 days after Christ had risen from the grave, Scripture was being fulfilled in their hearing. God was actively pouring out the Holy Spirit so that disciples of then and all times can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification, so that He might lead you into the promised land of eternal life. In our gospel text, Jesus says, whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. God has poured out His Holy Spirit so that His disciples of all times would go out into the harvest field and sow God's holy word and water it so that the Holy Spirit may give the growth. And not water it with just any water, not a dribble, not a sprinkle, but rivers of living water so that the Holy Spirit gives the growth. You receive the Holy Spirit either in baptism or in the preaching of God's word. And whenever you hear God's word proclaimed today, the Holy Spirit continually calls you by the gospel, enlightening you with His gifts and sanctifying you in the true faith, so that you have a knowledge that you are a sinner saved by the grace of God. The joy of salvation is so great. How can you and I not share it with others? You don't share the good news because it earns you merit before God. You share the good news of Jesus just like you share the good news of a good book or movie or restaurant. You share the good news because it is the joy of your salvation. So think of your family and friends and neighbors who do not know Jesus. Shouldn't they know Him? St. Peter says, it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call upon the name of the Lord? St. Paul famously writes, how will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And he goes on to say, faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ has manifested His miraculous authority over all creation on the day of Pentecost. And He miraculously manifests His authority over creation right here in the divine service, for all who call upon His name, for salvation for you. He miraculously creates and sustains faith in the hearts of those who hear the preached word, convicting you of your sin, calling you to repentance so that you flee from those sins. You don't have to live that way anymore. He strengthens you to flee unrighteousness. And God does indeed still work miracles today. Some of them are miraculous, many of them we do not see. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, He draws and gathers people together to hear His proclaimed word, reminding you of His steadfast deliverance and provision through the ages before, so that you have confidence of his deliverance and provision going forward in your life. You hear how God loved you so much that instead of condemning you to eternal damnation, he sent his son to suffer hell on the cross on your behalf, so that you might be justified by his blood and be saved by him from God's wrath. The Spirit does the miraculously by attaching his word to the water in baptism to regenerate and save sinners. He does the miraculous in the simple means of bread and wine when the words of institution are spoken. It is Jesus' body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are living in the end times. And the great blessings of Pentecost come through God's word. And that's why you gathered here this morning, to receive Christ's gifts, all of them one on Calvary's cross, forgiveness, life, and salvation. The Holy Spirit, sent from God miraculously and mysteriously, comes upon all sorts of ordinary people like you and me. It's given equally to all believers. There are no first class, second, or third class Christians. The Holy Spirit gives everyday people like you and me the words to confess and defend our faith in Christ. Maybe not in foreign languages or flowery phraseology, but ordinary words, common language, so that your friends and neighbors might understand. It's a confession of Christ crucified, risen, and ascended into heaven for sinners such as you and me, living in a broken and sinful world. Because all who call upon the name of the Lord in faith shall be saved. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.